G'day, Alan Langer here. They reckon the Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man is lifting podcasting to new heights. I reckon they could use a bit of a boost from Height for Hire myself. Call 1-800-HEIGHT or go to heightforhire.com.au.
Gee, we had some fun today, didn't we, on the show?
Yeah. Oh. We got agony aunt by the name of Moon.
That's right. The first Dear Moon letter came in from a very disgruntled man from Indooroopilly called Larry, who's a stand-up comedian.
He didn't include in the letter that he drinks too much sometimes, the stand-up
You just got that sense that he might.
You took us all by surprise, Marto, with a call from Mexico you got yesterday.
Oh, mate, took me by surprise. I was hoping for more backup. Have you ever been anything bad happened in Mexico?
I found a lot of money once when I was in Tijuana with a girlfriend. We found it under the bed, literally, in a hotel that was fairly seedy because we were backpacking our way through.
You don't offer to hand it back in Mexico.
Oh, no, we did not. We took that $2,000 and we skedaddled back across the American border.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and that kept us going for another couple of months.
Wonder what that cash was for.
Don't care.
I always feel very nervous when I hear found some cash made off with it. If you've seen the film Shallow Grave with Ewan McGregor, it was one of his first ones. He finds a heap of cash, takes it, and then some bad people come looking for that cash.
Okay, well, that was about 20 years ago, so I think I'm all good.
The movie sounds like a real must-see. Bobby Shriekman as well, our entertainment reporter, he was in fine fettle today, and concerningly, Russell Crowe in the background again. He's spending a lot of time over Bobby Shriekman's house.
Yeah, Crowe and Shriekman are spending a lot of time together.
Shriekman was very jealous of Boy George. He thinks that seat should be his. That was interesting.
He just wants to feel his seat spin, so have a listen to Shriekman in the catch-up.
What makes Shriekman turn?
Guys, I'm making myself available to the people of Brisbane to settle their problems. I'm going to start a new segment. It's called Dear Moon, and you can hit us up via Facebook, our Facebook page, or put a call in, even write to the station if you've got a problem and you need some advice from the Moon Man. So this is our first letter today, actually, Marto and Robin. It's addressed to Dear Moon. It's from a guy called... called Larry, from a man called Larry in Indooroopilly. Not his real name. He just wants to remain anonymous. Dear Moon, my name is Larry. I'm a stand-up comedian from Indooroopilly and my wife's name is Lou. We have a daughter named Maggie, aged 5. Well, it's coincidental.
Wow, that's very similar to you.
Wow, it's strange, isn't it? I love my wife, but she could not stack a dishwasher if her stupid life depended on it. Why would anyone put cups or glasses on the bottom rack? Why? And don't put plates randomly around the dishwasher. Line them up in a beautiful row. That's what the racks are for. She never traps the small plastic containers or bowls with the handles of the cup, and so they fill up with water. I hate it. I really do. And why don't people, by which I mean my wife, put wooden spoons on their side so they can dry and not end up sludgy and ridiculous? Is it just me, or do other men have this problem too? I don't mind stacking the dishwasher, but if she's gotten in first, she really hates it when I restack the dishwasher. She finds it demeaning because I call her names. What should I do? Because it's ruining my life and destroying my marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to end this way.
This would be interesting advice you give Larry.
Well, Larry, what you've got to do is tell your wife to stay away from the dishwasher. Otherwise, you will leave her. I don't know what other advice I can give you.
It won't get you into any more trouble.
Now, Larry...
Does Larry's wife, have you got any inkling, does she put the knives and forks downwards instead of upwards?
Well, you should always put the knives downwards, especially the really sharp ones, in case someone trips over and guts themselves on the cutlery holder. But the other one should be handles down.
Who's falling into the dishwasher?
Larry once read a story about tripping over and some woman actually killing herself.
Stabbed herself on her dishwasher.
On the dishwasher because the knife was sticking up. So, Larry, I hope my advice has helped for you. Have you guys got any advice for Larry in terms of stacking the dishwasher?
Yeah.
Or, yes?
Get a life.
Get a life.
Come on, Larry. Get a life. Hope that helps, Larry.
You're an ABC guy, Larry. Bugger off.
You're a loser, Larry. But if you've got a problem, please hit us up.
Yeah.
And that was Dear Moon.
How would you go with this one? Yesterday over at 5, I finally finished that building job I've been doing for the last month or so.
Oh, you built your deck?
Deck and put the roof on, all the guttering down. Everything's done. Hopped in my car and Kath rings virtually immediately and goes, darling, something really bad's happening.
Oh, dear.
I said, like what? And I couldn't hear her because I had her on speakerphone. I said, what? In the end, what had happened? Hillary has rung her and said, has rung her. Now, remembering, my daughter, I haven't seen her in about 6 months. She's been overworking in the ski fields in Canada and just finished about 3 weeks ago, went to New York for a week, and then her and a mate hadn't seen any sunshine for quite some time, went to Mexico.
Tijuana.
I said, what's wrong? What's wrong, Kath? No, not Tijuana. They went to Cancun.
So nice. I was either one of those party. Two.
Now, I've never
can
been.
Can I ask Mexico. You this, Marlo? Yeah. When Kath rings up and says there's something bad happening, is she given to exaggeration?
Oh, yeah. Or when... Yeah, she is, but this sounded serious. Now, Kath, you do have to divide it. But all she'd received at this stage was a phone call from Hillary. It's 1:30 in the morning in Mexico. Mum, something's terrible has just happened. We are so distressed. Kath had time to say, what time is it? Hillary said, it's 1:30. I've got to go. I'll ring you soon.
What do you mean? What?
Oh, she had to go, and I was like, explain. So that's when Kath rung me. I've got nothing more to operate. Kath. I said, hold on, weren't they staying at some sort of resort? Weren't they? It sounded
Kath.
Okay.
Poor Hillary.
We were worried because Mexico's always been sounded so dangerous. In the end, what has happened? Because the first thing, what do you think about? Mexico.
Drugs.
Arrested.
That's what drugs. Arrested for drugs or
cocaine
something.
Cocaine Hillary.
No, I don't think that happens in her life. Who knows? Whoever knows. All right, she rang back 5 minutes later. I'm still in the car. Turned back onto the rush hour and going, oh, God, what's going on in my daughter's life? I was heading home.
I'll compartmentalise that one until I get home.
Yeah, and then Kath rang again. She said, oh, you know what's happened? I said, is it drugs? That was my first question. Do I have to go and visit a Mexican prison? In the end, Hillary's mate had been sexually assaulted by a security guy. Her friend from, it was an English girl. They've been travelling around, been sexually assaulted by a security guard, couldn't get into their room. Hillary went down to reception to get their room key, the card rebuzzed. Security guy was standing with a mate and removed her clothes and molested. All right, so Hillary hopped back out of the lift.
Oh, my God.
This guy slipped into the lift. He must have heard
was
the lift
drunk
coming back
or
up.
Something? How did that happen?
I didn't ask about the drunk. They were standing there going, the guy's going, I'll look after you. And all of a sudden he said, you're beautiful and carried on all this.
Is she all right?
She was. They were hysterical. They were completely hysterical when we ended up talking to them. They went down to security and told them. And first of all, the reception didn't want to believe them. They then got the tape. Played it. The guy was sacked immediately and walked
off.
Hang
on, what tape? Like a
CCTV? They had a CCTV in the hallway. The guy, because it was outside their room. Thankfully, they didn't get inside the room because they were worried. Now it's 2:30 in the morning over there. They were worried that this security guy had come back and get into their room. So they've got chair jammed under the door. I told them to turn the iron on, and if if somebody broke in, smack them with the iron. What my job is, Robin. No, Kath's job's to settle Hillary's down. My job is to think she's a long way away. This is how you defend yourself.
No,
also
and
telling
I get
them
that.
To fill the kettle with boiling water, fill the kettle and boil it.
What you're with me?
Boiling
what
water
weapons
is your friend.
What weapon? That's right. That's what I said as well.
Okay,
both
so
of
here's
those.
My
they're
question.
Your two main weapons. I said, get any really heavy bottles. Do you have a mini bar?
No,
there's
hang
nothing
on.
In it.
So is Hilly the type of girl that in a drastic situation like that she would think to do it? Like, would she grab the iron? Would she get
not
the hot
until
water?
I tell her to grab the iron?
So in that moment, would she'd go, Dad told me to do this, and then she'd
do
it.
I couldn't help anymore. It's just, all right, so it all seems to sort itself out because then they went down to reception this morning after barricading themselves in the room and redressed the situation. They apologised and moved them to a really expensive room. So it's all hunky-dory.
So were the police involved?
No, decided not to report it to the police.
Why?
Because didn't want to make it an issue, and they only got another 2 days, and these people have looked after them. So it seems like Mexico. What a great place. No wonder he wants to build a big wall. Rat bags.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M. He's our man with all the Hollywood
goss. It's Bobby Shriekman. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Robbo. Hello, Brisbane. Hello to you, Marto and the Moon Man. Of course, little Brendo there pushing the buttons. I love it on Triple M, Brisbane. I'm in the Alabaster Mansion with me robe falling open. Oh, there's a houseplant. Hello.
He's the only man that can decide for all the women's magazines. What's he got for us?
Well, I don't understand, Bobby. Why aren't you a judge on The Voice?
Oh, I can't understand either, Robbo. I put me little application in every year to Channel 9. Come on, make me in charge of The Voice. Look at the lineup that's been there previously. Ricky Martin, Livin' La Vida Loca, Ronan Keating, Life's a Roller Coaster. No, listening to that accent, mate. Life's a Ghost Train, Ronan! And Seal, oh, he's not my favourite aquatic animal. And Keithy Urban, I can't understand. I'd like to get in there again. Next to Delta and Little Boy George. Oh, come on, Channel 9, maybe a judge.
Well, Shriek, what would it make you if you did become judge? What would make you spin your seat?
I tell you what, it doesn't take much to make me spin my seat, Prado.
Turn?
I spin my seat on most things, but I tell you what, a Prado handbag, bang, I'm around. A bit of lip balm, boom! Cosmopolitan magazine, hello! But I'd love something about Elton John. Somebody came out and sung a little bit of Elton John.
Like what?
Oh, sad song. Turn them on, turn them on, turn on those sad songs. Oh, I'm having a cry.
Steve Irwin movie, do you know anything about this?
Yes, I do. I have got some scoops. They are making a Steve Irwin movie, and Russell Crowe is going to star as Steve.
What?
He's right here. Yeah, g'day, folks. As you know, I've seen a bit of Terry and go over to her place and do the crocodile, which means I just lie on the lounge room floor and she throws me a bit of raw meat and I just writhe around.
Yeah, we've told
you. Know. Russ, enough of that. Anyway, Russell Crowe's going to play Steve. Jennifer Lawrence is going to play Terry Irwin. Of course, it's all about who's going to play little Bobby because he's the crux of the story. Is it going to be Eddie Redmayne? Is it going to be Macaulay Culkin? Can we get him off the gear long enough? Or Hayley Joel Osment making a massive comeback? And Selena Gomez as Bindi Irwin? And that's all completely made up. Bye-bye.
Often around this time in the morning, we open up a can of worms and have some serious conversations. Like yesterday, the marijuana one conversation, should we legalise it? That got serious.
Also, the transgender athletes we were talking about, where you were having a crack about the Comm Games. You also made that outrageous statement a few weeks ago that Aussie girls aren't worth it.
Oh. But it's always worth, you know, topping it. When there are serious things, you know, toss them out there. Some days there's some not so serious things, and that's where you come in, Moon. You've brought something. You want to bring something up today?
I want to bring something serious to the table.
This is not serious.
I'm not just a lighthearted person. I'm not just flimsy flaker that, you know, makes jokes all the time. There's some serious issues that need to be answered. We touched on this yesterday when I said, when is the best time of the day to eat a kebab? And my contention is because I enjoy one for breakfast after finishing radio most mornings at Turkish Kebabs, and what a delicious job he does down there.
He looks at you because you're the only customer.
He watches me adoringly like a father watching a boy eat his first meal.
That does not justify this behaviour.
Robin, that's because there's no one else in the shop, correct?
Yeah.
That's why he's watching you.
For a good 2 hours.
Because no one else eats daytime kebabs.
But I think that you should be eating them at the beginning of the day, so you've got all day for your body, your beautiful body, to digest the nutrients, and you should be eating them sober because you've got to carefully unwrap the paper, or some people use foil, so it doesn't unfold. But when you're drunk or under the influence of alcohol, it's very hard to negotiate a kebab. So I'm saying kebabs are daytime food. They are not a nighttime food.
Don't you reckon they take too long? Like, they're not I'm going to charge in and get one for lunch, because they take too long to make. Inevitably, you sit there just looking at
the... The only concession I will make to you is the other time to have a kebab is when you're in a shopping centre food court and you no longer want the dirty bird. If McDonald's and KFC are not doing it for you, then potentially a kebab has a place in this world.
Straight over to Alibaba's.
Yeah.
Or Ali Kebabas.
I think you're close to giving up completely if you're eating a kebab while the sun's up. You may as well get your hat and just jam it out in front of you and hope people throw coins in, mate.
Okay.
You know what? I'm thinking about wearing trackies to work so I can really enjoy that kebab.
Kebab.
The elasticized pants.
Let's do it.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
I'm saying kebabs are a daytime food.
They're for drunken nighttime dribblers.
No. There's a lot of people out there that enjoy daytime kebabs.
Are you sure?
Get behind me, folks.
Are
get
you
around
sure?
me.
On the corner of Brunswick Street and Wickham Street, the RG's or Rick's, whatever you want to call that bar, Kath and I were having a drink there a couple of Friday nights ago, looked across, there were two kebab shops. Okay, it was 7 o'clock at night. Just opening their doors.
Yeah, Valley Kebab Store is one of them. Is Dirty Harry's still working?
Well, do they make
in Caxton Street?
Yeah, I think so, isn't it? They don't even open most kebab stores until the sun goes down. It's not a
Well, they're out of their minds. And, of course,
are they moving missing a lot of daytime traffic, are they?
Absolutely. Well, the Moon Man isn't a lone wolf. There's other people out there, so let's find out.
Well, let's find out. Greg of Raceview, kebabs daytime foods?
Yes, most definitely. After hearing yesterday, I went past my favourite kebab shop down on Kingston Road there and had to have one.
We better have a name. What was the name of the shop?
I can't remember. It's in behind the servo. It's the drive-through one on Kingston Road.
Drive-through kebab
store. Oh.
Yeah, they got drive-through kebab fish and chips behind the service station.
I got your juices flowing just by chatting about it.
Certainly did. So I had to have one for Smoko.
Hey, but it would have got on all on your legs and in the hair. Are you a shorts wearer? You sound like one.
No. Longs, mate. Got to have the high vis, the PPE and everything. Whilst driving the truck, it was quite easy, actually.
But did you have a lot of stains? It's a real dribbling food. Did you have a lot of stains on your trousers?
No. What you do with the alfoil bag is you make it into a cup and then you drink it all afterwards.
Okay, now drink this is getting gross.
They should kebab straws.
Okay, Scott of Hillcrest, kebabs are a daytime food, yes or no?
Absolutely. Yeah, with the Moon Man here, and what Marto was saying about the kebab shops not opening till 7 o'clock at night. Well, I think when you're in a precinct like the Valley or somewhere, they probably don't. And you know, if they have traded during the day before, they probably look at their numbers and they do 90% of their trade at night. Let's just open at night. But when you're out in the burbs, go grab a kebab during the day.
Suburban kebabbery. What time's the earliest you can have one?
Oh, mate, I tell you what, if I could find one open now, I'd have one for breakfast.
That's a fair call. Moon's with you.
Yeah, look, if you are a kebab place and you're open now, please feel free to tell us, 133353.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you'll get everyone. You'll get the whole of Brisbane there.
A lot of people behind me so far saying, yes, it is a daytime food.
Kirsty of Beval, what do you think?
Well, I sort of agree with you, Robin, and the fact that when you're at the food court and there's nothing else to have, kebabs are great. But kebabs are especially good at 3 a.m. once you finish at the pub.
Nighttime food.
Yeah, it's a nighttime
food. Nighttime food. Mm-hmm. Nighttime drunken dribbler food.
Yeah, you've got to be pretty dexterous though, Kirsty.
Yeah, degree of difficulty is about 10. Steve of Eagle Bee. Daytime and nighttime.
Yeah, I'm with Moon on this one. When I was unemployed looking for work, I would have kebab for breakfast probably 3 or 4 times a week. In the end, I didn't even need to order. I'd just walk up to the counter and they'd start making it for me.
Well, that is love, isn't it? Being loved by your kebabbery.
I had a mate who was putting on a bit of weight. He was at university. They named a kebab the Brian after him because he came in every day. And refer to my earlier comments about you're almost homeless if you're eating a kebab a day.
No. Good on you, Steve from Eagleby. And thank you very much to all of my supporters.
Well, most supporters, 90% are saying kebabs are a daytime food. So you've won there, Moon Man.
Yes, they are.
That's not a win.
Kebab on, everybody.
Get down to the Abra Kebabbery. Oh, yeah, on Caxton Street. Abra Kebabra. Wonderful.
Have you got a voucher, have you?
Sure do. Big breakfast.
I was having a conversation with my partner, Sean, last week about booze and which is the less calories in it. And then we started to move on to maybe the calories are involved in how it's actually made and what is the main ingredient.
Are the calories in the alcohol or in the mixes you put with the alcohol?
Both. Yeah. But the best...
So even spirits have a certain amount of calories
yes.
in them.
Much?
No, not. It is mostly what you put with it. And the best kind of alcohol that we could find if you want to go out for a drink, forget wine. Oh, my Lord, that is so calorie heavy.
Oh.
Go for vodka and soda.
Vodka and soda. That's very popular, I see.
And then just use a little squirt of lemon. So we did a fair bit of research.
Can you get a wine gut?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
I bet it's not called a gut in the wine industry. It's called a paunch.
A wine paunch.
Well, no, no, no.
I've got
well,
a wine paunch.
Well, no, I would suggest that the paunch comes on thighs and butts.
Why not?
Paunch.
Because more just women drink wine than... Anyway, so right. Moving on. I'm going to quiz you lot and see how well you go with your favourite booze and see if you know what's actually in it.
Laptop's down.
Gin.
I would say gin is...
What is the main ingredient of gin?
Gin has to have juniper in it.
Yes,
I know
it
that
does.
For some strange reason.
Well done.
Thanks.
Juniper and rye. It's a grain.
Rye, that's it.
It's a grain spirit.
And barley sometimes too.
Occasionally.
Or
but hey, well done you. I'm Queen very
loves,
impressed with
you know
that.
The Queen loves hopping into the gin. Oh, a mate of mine is friends with Prince Harry. He loves Hendrix. She uses that an ingredient in a martini?
No, yeah, Hendrix is a type of gin.
Right, that's the gin that the Queen drinks. It's really expensive.
Okay, vodka.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Yes. See, I didn't know that. Mm. And can be corn and rye.
No, don't you remember MASH when Trapper John and Alan Alda used to have the still? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes,
the
I still, do.
That's why I drink martinis, because I was obsessed with Hawkeye.
Of course that's why.
I based my whole life on Hawkeye, a womanising alcoholic. It's like, yes, sir, tick, tick.
Who's the clinger in your life? Cross-dressing?
The cross-dresser.
I'm also clinger.
You're all going to know this one. Because we're good Queenslanders. Yeah, thank you. Rum. Yes. Also can be molasses or treacle.
Heard that real rum aficionados don't really consider Bundaberg rum a rum.
No, it's a rubbish rum. That's all the proper people do.
It's a cane sugar spirit.
You know how it started? They were, you know, it was a Bundaberg distilling company or whatever it's called. But it started out of the sugar cane. They had all the molasses out the back. They said, what are we going to do with all this
That's
crap?
Right,
and some bloke said, oh, I think you can make rum out of that. Right, I'll have a go.
And off they went. Okay, brandy.
Grapes.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at you, like, you're very good.
Is it a fortified?
It is my specialist subject.
It really is. What was that ABC quiz show where it was your specialty subject? Okay, whiskey.
Mastermind.
What whiskey? Now, whiskey, it depends on what region. If it's Scotland, Ireland is different from the United States.
Barley as well.
Is it a mash of grains? So you've got rye for bourbon.
Yeah. Wheat and maize.
Is that in bourbon? No, is that in whiskey?
Yeah, that's in whiskey. But in Scotland and Ireland, which is why it makes it so special, it also uses...
Don't know.
Oh, malted barley.
Ooh.
And my final one, because it is so obscure, tequila.
Oh, the cactus. Agave cactus or something.
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
Yeah, we love our grog.
I think me and Marto might have had conversations like this. Yeah, and then what about beer? What about this? Oh, I love you, mate.
Angels, tears.
You're experts. Brisbane's Triple M.
Something exciting was on the news last night, and Marto, I thought this was particularly relevant to you.
What?
Google, who are based in Sydney for their sort of Asian Pacific region operations, have been trying to expand, and Sydney have stuffed it up. And basically, they had two proposals in. One was going to go into an old railway yard, and the other was going
at Redfern,
into a...
Redfern? Everyone's in those old railway yards at Redfern.
Okay, and something
Groovy.
Happened, and the state government weren't able to provide whatever Google needed. So now they're looking to Brisbane and they have some very specific criteria. This is what was said.
A Queensland government source told us, yes, we want Google. Google wants a 12-hectare site to build its new headquarters. It would house some 10,000 workers.
Okay, so that is what we need to provide to get Google to Brisbane. I need your suggestions.
12 hectares, which is 120,000 square metres, which means they've got a site 300 metres by 400, let's say.
Yeah. So give us an idea.
So
is
that's
that
the size of
a school, hospital?
Ooh, a school, not bad. A large Bunnings with an enormous car park for 10,000, let's say 10,000 employees. 10,000 employees, a lot.
Yeah, well, what about the old Masters building that's opposite
They're everywhere.
Yeah, there's one in Darra.
I don't think they're big enough. There's one at Stafford. I don't know whether they're big enough.
Like, if you put Google headquarters into Google Images, the things that they have in their main headquarters in California, it looks like one of those children's playgrounds at a pub. There's slides, there's climbing things, there's bikes.
Creative.
There's even, they have work pods on rails that slowly go around the outside of the building so your view changes. Like when I say the outside of the building, the inside
you
of the building.
You work on a little little shuttle thing.
You work on a little desk, but it's on a rail. And so slowly you go around the building. Right. And so your view changes.
I think we're pretty clear.
All sorts of stuff going on.
Wow. So what are these people doing? Like 10,000 people, are they the people who I go, I've got an itch in my groin? Do they answer? Or there is someone there just typing
They're working on algorithms.
Google?
They're creating the Google. No. Don't get caught up in that. That is irrelevant. We need a place in Brisbane that can house 10,000 people.
Dreamworld. It's going down the dribbler. So you get Dreamworld and just convert it to
it's
Google
not a
World.
Bad idea. Yeah,
they got all the rides. You imagine Google working World. On the Tower of Terror or the Giant Drop. You've got to do some work. You better make
that
it quick.
That is a great idea. It's just tigers roaming around. I still want to drill down on the itch in your groin. Why did you throw that up?
What other questions do you ask Google? Yeah, the stuff that you ask Google.
I tell you what happens if you do put something. If I Googled Google and my computer just pissed off.
Really?
I didn't know what to do.
Okay, hang on. Hugh of Zilmia, you've got a suggestion. Where do you reckon?
What about the old sandblasting and quarry site at Warner? It's just a big vacant lot at the moment.
Yeah, can you imagine these creative groovers going out to Warner, though?
Oh, mate, it's better than putting everything in the centre of town when there's no traffic.
Yes, and you could put proper car spaces.
Will they be Australian workers,
That's a great idea, Hugh. Thank you.
Will they be? Yeah. We'll be importing the wankers.
They'll be from all over Asia and the Pacific. It'll be like a melting pot.
Will they have little goatees and stuff?
It'll be a nerd fest.
Is that what makes a wanker to you, if they've got a goatee?
No, that's a bobcat driver.
Okay, come on, people. This is a great chance for Brisbane and southeast Queensland. We need a disused space or maybe the entertainment centre. There's a stage.
The swamp.
Yeah, there you go. You'd be happy about that.
If you really want to use a disused space, maybe you could put Google in the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games.
10,000 people, how many hectares?
12 hectares, which is about 400 metres by 300 metres. So 12 football fields.
Oh, okay, that's much
a
better.
A hectare is 100 metres by 100 metres.
Okay, how about the big pineapple?
Interesting. Oh, Moon was saying in California at their headquarters they've got a little train thing going around the
outside. They've got the macadamia train.
Travelling through macadamias while answering people's questions. And
they've also got those, what are those two-wheeled stand-up
Segways?
It's called Segways, yeah.
Oh, they'd love them.
Oh, that would be so fun. Okay, Ben, Bridgman Downs, where do you reckon, Ben?
How is going? Yeah, I reckon the old QUT University there at Castledine.
On the hill there.
Where is it? It's
got a train and a bus already there.
Beams Road, you turn right at Beams Road as you're heading up the coast. Interesting.
That's on Marto, yeah.
Mm. Is it good parking? If you're going to put them out in the burbs, they need good parking, Ben.
But they're not real.
Yeah, there's train and bus there, though, because it used to be uni, so all the students used to get there.
Is Castledine a good place for creative thinking, do you think?
Castledine. I don't know about that.
Thanks, Ben. And Kerry of Waterford, where would you suggest?
I suggest, what about the near the Beenleigh Rum Distillery where they're going to build a harbour town?
Oh, is that what they're doing there?
No?
And that's right on the banks of the river, isn't it?
That's right.
That's a good idea. They'd be
something
happy
on
too.
The water. Yeah, like a, waterborne segways. Jet skis. God, there will be jetpacks before too long too, so they'll be flying through the air, the Google people.
Google are right. Are they right at the pointy end of development of everything, Google?
Well, we'll say they are.
But at their Australian arm, or is that the overseas? What do the Australian arm do? Answer Pacific questions on Google.
Darren of Rochdale, what you got? Where should Google go?
Oh, I just drove past a place at corner of Gardner Road and Mount Gravatt-Capellebar Road in Rochdale, right next to the freeway. It's big enough and... If that wasn't big enough, you got to cross the road from that at the old landfill area that they could redo. I'm sure Ross Vasta, the local member, would be into that.
Are you a commercial property salesman? Sounds very much like a bid.
No. But I'll give me business a plug if you want.
Come on. What do you do, Darren?
Oh, I've got a business, IPVS. I actually advertised on your station a few weeks ago in drive time, so there you go.
Oh, nice one. Okay. We'll Google what you do.
Thanks,
Big
Darren.
Breakfast on Triple M.
Yes.